from people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 39 for May 1st, 2007. Mayday. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the gang that couldn't shoot straight, or maybe I should say couldn't click straight. Merlin Mann from 43 Folders and the Merlin Show. Hello.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
It's a gray day in San Francisco.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Oh, I forgot. You're in the avenues. It's gray all the time. Scott Bourne's a little more downtown. You seeing some sunshine out there in the, whatever they call that district?
Well, the Dog Patch District is the location of Podango Studios, and it's the officially sunniest weather in San Francisco.
And?
Today is sunny.
You're kidding. Really?
Well, down here.
Wow, that's impressive. It's not sunny in Petaluma.
Well, it's not really sunny, but I mean, you can see blue sky.
Yeah, I don't see any blue sky. It's all white above me. Scott Bourne is, of course, with Podcasting Tricks and Podango and AppleFoneShow.com. The little site that any day now is going to become a big site.
And Mr. Anatko will be joining me occasionally, I hope.
Oh, really?
Indeed, I will.
Andy Anatko's here from the Chicago Sun-Times. He is also the creator of the Colossal Waste of Bandwidth and is now broadcasting to you from Studio A.
Studio A at stately Dunce Cap Studios in beautiful, crime-free Boston, Massachusetts.
The reason that he calls it Dunce Cap Studios?
Yes, because I was recording podcasts for a while, just lying down comfortably on my sofa, and then I realized there's a reason why you should expend a certain minimum number of calories, because otherwise you sound like Paul Anka introducing his third show of the day, trying to get excited.
This makes me leap to my feet and stretch.
Yeah, exactly. So I got the most uncomfortable steel lab chair that I could get out of storage, put it in the corner of my office, put the boom mic, put the steel typing table, nothing padded, nothing, you know, it encourages fidgeting, it encourages shifting around, and most of all, it encourages shutting up very, very quickly so you can just leave that place, that awful place, and, you know, think about what you did. Just like a real, you know, being told to sit in the corner and think about that awful, awful thing that you did.
It's just so like every a time real I'm radio studio, actually.
Exactly.
Uncomfortable as hell, yeah. And kind of, you know, grim. In fact, that was one of the problems I had when I started doing the radio show from home. I don't do it from home anymore. I have a little office. But it was too relaxing. You couldn't get going.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I mean, all your equipment is like scattered to the three different winds, especially if I've just been traveling. So I can't tell you how many times I've started a podcast using the built-in microphone of my PowerBook. Well, Scott, I'm over here. I thought I'd illustrate the problems of XML encoding by running around desperately looking for something while I speak. I'm an educator, Bill.
Hey, we got some stories. It took us about an hour to think of what we were going to talk about today, but we got some stories. Starting off with the iPhone pics up on Flickr taken down very quickly, which actually led me to believe they were real. What happened, Merlin?
Well, what happened was there's a great feature on Flickr that I think is will become much better known now, which is that you can go out and find photos that were taken using a certain kind of brand and model of camera. And somebody basically noticed, it says on every photo what camera was used to take it. And somebody noticed there's a couple photos up that said they were taken with an Apple iPhone.
And, you know, you could fake, you can easily edit the EXIF data.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you can.
That's simple to do. You can do it in Aperture, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it said camera, Apple iPhone. Orientation rotated 90 degrees clockwise, which tells me it has motion, some sort of motion sensor or position sensor.
Do you think they are real, though?
Well, I'll tell you why I think they're real. First of all, the fact that they were taken down immediately is a little telling. Second of all, you know, the folks who discovered this, mobilegorilla.com, did a little research. Turns out this pictured as a cafe very near Cupertino, California. Yeah, it's actually a steakhouse called Alexander's, 3 miles from Apple HQ. They were marked.
It was put up there by the steakhouse.
That's the ticket. They were marked private. They certainly are camera phone pictures, but they're high res, 1600 by 1200, which is about 3 megapixels. As the only one who's ever touched an iPhone, actually, you have too, haven't you, Andy?
I have.
Andy and Scott.
Not as long as Andy has.
Do either of you know what the resolution of the camera is?
Yeah. That information wasn't provided to me.
I believe they said 1600 by 1200.
Well, that's what these pictures are.
That's
the plot thickens.
Because I remember being surprised it wasn't higher resolution.
Well, I don't have any evidence of this, but I have heard numerous reports from people in the Valley that there are at least a few, like, where you can see people walking around with them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to source that, but I'm just going to say lots of people have seen these out in the, at least a,
well,
a few.
I get sent, you know, being the proprietor of ApplePhoneShow.com, I get sent about 100 fake pics a day.
Well,
and
now,
some of them are really, really bad, and some of them are pretty darn good, but yeah. The bottom line is, I really don't care.
These aren't pictures these aren't pictures of the iPhone.
No, I understand.
They're pictures taken with the iPhone.
I get both flavors. I get some that are supposed to be the iPhone on the street.
Mobile Gorilla says that they have confirmed now that the pictures were uploaded by an Apple employee.
Well, whatever Mobile Gorilla says must be true.
Well, I believe it. I have a feeling.
We should ask the Macalope.
Macalope. Here we go.
Now, I have to say, there's a greenish cast to the higher res of the two pictures. They're very camera phone-esque. You know, they have that feeling, you know, kind of extra over JPEG'd. And yet, there's a lot of detail in the 1600 by 1200. It's a good-looking picture.
Well, for whatever it's worth, the camera phone app that was running in January had exactly one button on it. So I know that it wasn't being the camera phone software wasn't being developed.
Right.
It's not on the same track. It wasn't at least at the same level of complexity in January as the other apps. So it's possible they're still just playing catch up with that part of the software.
I totally believe that this is it.
But let me just ask you a question. If you're an Apple employee, what in the world would possess you to upload something to Flickr?
Oh, a couple of reasons.
Well, who cares? I mean, you're not taking a picture of the phone, are you?
And maybe you're testing. Right. You didn't know. First of all, you didn't know that would be detectable that it was an iPhone. Not everybody knows that XF information is uploaded to Flickr or exposed by Flickr. Second of all, you might be testing Flickr upload. I mean, my phone, my Nokia 95, has built-in Flickr uploading. Maybe that's on the iPhone.
Now that makes sense.
Wow, that's cool, Leo.
It was uploaded. Yeah, Vox and Flickr. So once you enter your account,
I have to do like 7 clicks on my Fusic.
Yeah. You know what? I have to. Sometimes we'll sit down, the four of us, and I'll show you this at Nokia N95 because I think you're going to like it. And I think until the iPhone comes out, it's clearly the best phone out there.
You're just trying to not get your ass kicked by Scott.
No, listen.
I'm sure when it comes out.
I'm going to buy an iPhone. I have a singular SIM chip sitting right here. And I'll probably
buy one. You don't need to buy one, Leo.
Oh, I almost always buy everything.
If memory serves, you're going to get
Scott's going to buy me one.
That's right.
No, he's already denied that he's going to do this.
He thinks he's going to sweep this under the rug like every scandal he's ever had in his life. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to go gently into that good phone carrier. I'm going to have an iPhone.
Mr. Man, I hate to break you out of this fantasy, but here's the thing about
you're
podcasts.
You're going to break me out of a fantasy?
Here's the thing about podcasts.
They aren't legally...
There, you can go look at and listen to that show and listen carefully to what I said, and you'll realize that you are in error.
You know, Scott, the day that I start listening carefully to everything anyway, I want my damn phone. Anyway, continue. The N95 looks beautiful,
It's
though.
A nice phone. I've been very, it's super happy. Battery life's not great. I have chargers everywhere I go, but only if you use all the features. I mean, it has so many.
How long is the battery life?
Well, I killed it in 3 hours the first day I got it because I'd used the GPS and the Bluetooth and I was uploading pictures and I was, you know, I used every possible feature. By the way, Skype works on it. I can make calls. In fact, wait a minute. I should call you guys.
It looks for an open AP and just starts dialing.
Right, I'm going to call in. Hold on. I have an open Wi-Fi access point here, right?
Leo, we're getting dangerously close to the singularity.
This here is a geek talking, and I'm talking. You're a freaking geek, okay? I'm holding a telephone in my hand that is connected to the most reliable and worldwide communications network. But no, I'm going to use a really dodgy IP telephone.
That's the point. It's free. So I'm going to call. Okay.
Now let me just drive 12 miles to find. to find a Panera bread or something with an open Wi-Fi access.
Here's the interesting thing. It works, and this is the thing that's got to scare carriers. It works pretty well even with Edge. So I don't actually have to get to an access point.
Now, see, wait a minute. If it works well with Edge, that starts this whole possible rat hole that, you know, all the Apple haters and iPhone haters will be disappointed to find out that the iPhone works well with Edge, too.
Well, it works well. I didn't say it works well surfing the net with Edge. It works well. Okay.
Is that like failover if it I mean, can you have one contiguous call and it'll change the way it's being carried?
No, I don't think so. It's just like, you know, Skype isn't that smart.
That would be elfin magic if it had like a hybrid.
That would be elfin magic.
Yeah, no, that's don't get too. Let's see, call.
That's I just can't stop either. Looking at this dry aged beef in this photo.
It does look good. I'm going Alexander. You're right. It might have been posted by Alexander's. It looks so good.
Yeah, see, that just shows you like the difference in granularity between your observations. I was looking at your pictures in your Flickr feed and saying, wow, why is Leo using such a crappy camera? That's a phone? Wow, those are fantastic pictures.
Exactly. That's exactly right, isn't it?
Well, let me just ask the question. Even if these are from the iPhone at this early stage, what does it matter? Because generally, like as Andy was alluding to, I mean, the final tweaks on the processing
software. Oh, it's not that early.
Software.
Dude, no. I think we're very close to shipping. Right.
Oh, I think we're 2 months away.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see it before June.
I think it's 8 weeks.
This is May, dude. Yeah.
Well, 4 weeks in May, 4 weeks in June. That technically means they meet the June deadline.
That's not the kind of thing you're going to see big changes in, is the quality of the pictures.
Well, but that's the kind of thing that's the easiest to change. That's exactly. Just a software tweak.
Yeah, it's all the same really cheap, horrible pencil tip size plastic lens. Right. It's all software that makes it actually work and look like a decent picture, unless you have a really cool Nokia N95. And who do you know, for God's sakes? I don't have an N95.
Okay, wait.
So the N95.
Hold on a second. I'm calling. Hold on. All right, I'm conferencing myself in now. So this is talking to you.
Talking to you
via the Nokia
N95. And a Wi-Fi access point.
It's time for an intervention, man.
So you're right. This is every bit as good as a telephone.
But here's the point.
This is a free call. It's not going through the cell phone network. It's absolutely free.
It costs me $4 a month to call anywhere in the entire country for free, Leo. Okay.
That's
and it sounds as good as this conversation we're having right now.
Four bucks less I've spent than you.
And it's not like talking to the International Space Station where there's like a 1.5 second latency.
Okay, you're right. There is a rather long latency.
And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear, Leo.
What? Who's what's I who? Hello? Anyway,
look like ants from up here.
That was a Skype call. Now, that was over Wi-Fi through my N95 phone.
Jeez, Louise.
You know who's going to like that is Alex Lindsay.
Yeah, because if you're in Africa, that won't work.
Oh no, I mean, isn't that one of his the same point? He's Alex who wants the iPhone but without the phone.
Yeah,
you have to be cheap with a logo on it.
By the way,
you have to be cheap.
Excuse me, because
it costs so much.
I have to go plug in the Nokia now because it's just killed the battery on me.
Oh my gosh!
See. Who's the cool guy with the Nokia N95? Well, it's that guy who's carrying that motorcycle battery in a backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can have 10 hours of standby time.
I think that's kind of cool that you can use
it. That's actually pretty cool. Yeah.
You got a U-Haul behind your Lexus, Leo, for your battery. That's true.
But that even points out a problem that we're going to have with the iPhone and that I have with every single smartphone. I love having one device so I don't have to carry like four different things with me. I need to be able to place and receive phone calls if my car breaks down. So I tend not to use these cool media features. I tend not to use the Wi-Fi features unless I absolutely have to.
Well, the other thing you could do is carry a little extra battery. I don't think the batteries for this are too expensive.
Yeah, APC makes this really cool USB, like 10-hour battery you can recharge.
There you go. Moving on, speaking of batteries, Apple shipped a 700K battery update for the MacBook and the MacBook Pro. They claim will fix battery problems. I downloaded and installed it, but I didn't. I mean, I wasn't having problems anyway. And I guess I'd ask the question: why would a 700K fix solve problems like battery? It looks like battery distortion or warping is one of the problems it fixes. I don't understand.
Yeah, your battery magically shrinks when you have this 700K file going on.
I have to think that there's nothing in this file, that this is a placebo.
That's exactly what I was wondering.
You're testing gullibility in the market share.
Let's see if those fixes.
Shouldn't we sell iPhone 2 too?
What, you know, so the battery problem, some of it was the battery wasn't charging, and I guess, you know, that could be fixed, I guess, in firmware.
Right. I never had any problems with the one in my MacBook
I didn't
Pro.
Either.
Has anybody here had any? Merlin?
No.
The problems were at startup, wake from sleep, or when you put the battery in. This is supposed to improve battery life and reduce swelling.
That's good.
Well, actually, there's sort of, I learned about this like 6 or 7 months ago, not about Apple, but through, let's say, another major designer of portable electronics, that apparently there really is a black art to how you charge the battery. If you have a really stupid device that just plugs and hooks it up to DC power and charges it that way, you'll get a certain satisfying level of charge. However, if you can really fine tune the firmware so that it not only senses what the charge level is, but how it's responding to the charge, you can basically keep ramping it up and down, sort of sawtooth a little bit,
right,
to not only extend the life of the battery because of, you know, you get more charges and recharge, but also making sure you're not heating it up quite so much so that, you know, all those nifty little chemical bonds get broken down.
It's likely that this file is just changing the parameters of how it's charging.
Right. It's basically changing the idea of, well, it'll start to really hammer it at this point, and then it'll start tailing off and tailing off and tailing off. It might take, I haven't downloaded this update yet, but if it's like other updates that I've heard about and people, these engineers have told me about, it'll take a little bit longer to recharge these batteries. However, it'll extend the life of the battery by like 4 or 5 months.
Okay. So it's not voodoo.
It's voodoo. It's voodoo hoodoo. It's got the John DeConcaroo and the Mongo tooth. But still, well, if I get 4 months out of my battery, that'll do it for me.
Did everybody download it?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I can't tell if anything.
Yeah, happened. Why not? I mean, I wasn't having problems to begin with.
I don't have any bloating. If that. It's the Mac. It's, well, the MacBook that's getting the bloating, right? It's
not
the
MacBook. Right.
I don't know. So it's only
This isn't related to your personal bloating, Merlin.
I'm just retaining water. I have thick ankles, okay, and I like to dance. What can I say? I think it's a MacBook issue, right? I installed something for my battery.
Well, whatever. The update is for MacBooks and MacBook Pros. Battery update 1.2. You'll get it via software update. Mm-hmm. MacBook Lake 2006, MacBook Pro 15 and 17 inch. It says after battery update has been installed, each battery you insert into your MacBook or MacBook Pro will automatically be updated. So apparently it actually downloads into the battery.
This just sounds too weird to me.
The battery updater will check to see if a battery needs to be updated on startup, wake from sleep, or when a battery is inserted. In this case, If in these cases there's no AC power supply, it'll wait till you've got it plugged in, and then it will update the battery. There's firmware in the battery.
So it flashes it.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I think it is voodoo now.
Yeah.
We're fixing your battery.
There's some things man was not meant to know.
I think
well,
so.
They call it the Hawthorne effect, where you just notice it because you're meant to notice it. You know, it's
right. Well, it's my car runs better after I wash it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't say that Apple's just sitting on their hands here. They're issuing battery updates and everything. I got really excited because I thought, oh boy, I'm going to get another brand new battery for my MacBook, the third one.
Yeah, I love that.
Another reason why it's going to explode.
I love those recalls.
Software download.
Yeah. Wow. When's the last time you saw Microsoft introducing this kind of placebo into the marketplace?
Exactly my point.
Hey, and I just want to point out that they were not late in getting this placebo out there
immediately. Well,
they
speaking of patches, there is today, as we record this, a new patch for QuickTime that fixes that kind of icky Java issue with QuickTime. So you certainly should apply this because there are exploits, Safari-based exploits, although I think it would actually probably
it's
work
any
with
browser.
Anything else, any browser.
Yeah, it's any browser. It's just QuickTime.
So it's QuickTime 7.1.6. It also adds support for Final Cut Studio 2, but it does fix that issue with a QuickTime. That was pretty fast. We were talking about this flaw last week, and they've got it out already. Can't complain about that.
So you feel good about that? You feel like that's... We did talk about that last week. You feel like that was responsive. That's... about how long it should take?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult
thing.
Except
for the fact it had been around for so long.
Yeah, did they know? The question is, when did they know about it? And how long did it take them to create the fix? These things can't, I mean, Microsoft takes months often to ship patches.
Was this something that they just found out as a result of the contest thing? Had somebody been sitting on this? I didn't read that. Actually, you know, John Gruber interviewed the guy who did the exploit on Daring Fireball. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but he did a long interview with the guy.
Yeah, it was the Mac hacking contest at CanSec West, and they took a Mac, and using Safari and this QuickTime exploit, were able to own the Mac. The exploit functions courtesy of a previously unknown flaw.
Okay.
It says this is according to Matasano Security, the experts who did this hack worked there. Malicious code sent through the web pages or through the web plugin for the Apple software can expose any system to potential attacks. Now, by the way, it affects Windows too. I presume, and I haven't tried it yet, that Apple will have an update for QuickTime in Windows as well. Actually, that's an interesting question. Let me launch QuickTime in Windows and see what happens.
I think getting this out in a week is pretty good, because something some people don't stop to think about is they have to test to see this is going to blow up.
No, that's right. That's exactly why Microsoft usually takes months to do these. And even then, sometimes gets it wrong. The animated cursor flaw, which Microsoft knew about 3 months before they patched, the first patch had a major problem with one of the common chipsets on Windows. So it's a difficult thing to do. It may be that in this case it was an easy fix. You know, it was just, that's simple. You just flip that bit there.
But doesn't it make you a little bit uncomfortable? It's like when you accidentally leave your keys in your car parked outside, and then you're a little bit disappointed the next morning to find out that nobody's stolen it, that nobody thinks your car is worth stealing. This exploit's been around for months and months and months, and finally
nobody broke in.
I guess we'll close the hole. Oh, well.
Isn't that your theory, Leo, that basically people don't want to steal our car?
I think after I looked at the fact that, you know, this hack's now out there, it's known. I don't know how much information that Matasano released. But you notice there were no in-the-wild attacks over the last week.
Yeah, doesn't it take sort of a perfect storm to make this thing work that way? I mean, it's not something just any old hacker would know, is it?
Once the code is published, it's a pretty standard kind of a hack, as far as I can tell. So once the code, and I don't think they published exploit code, so.
I think it's more like the same reason why Chevrolet doesn't make bagels. I mean, people who write viruses and worms know the nastiness. They're not in the Macintosh business. It just doesn't occur to them that they could do this or that they could profit from it.
Well, and this is what we were talking about last week. There's only a few, there's 4% of all the computers out there are Macs. If you want to take over a computer for purposes of forwarding spam or distributed denial of services attacks, you're going to take over Windows computers. There's just more of them. They're more useful.
Yeah, I'm
okay with it staying that way.
Yeah, you know, in a way, that really argues for let's not talk too well about Mac. Let's not get too many people switching.
Yeah, exactly. See, it seems to me if I were going to be out there doing this stuff, and that's a question I've actually always had, is are people writing these on Windows?
They have Windows. They write them for Windows because that's where all the computers are.
They can test the exploit. But it's funny because, I mean, if it seems to me, maybe I don't understand the ethos or the whole reason you would do this kind of cracky stuff, but it seems to me like you would want to go after Max at this point just because we are so kind of high and mighty. It's a pretty fat target.
Well, also because everything's completely unsecure. There's no explicit utility that people are installing to prevent this sort of thing from happening.
Why? We don't have spyware? Any spyware? We don't have any viruses?
Right. And we are talking about an industry, in terms of people who are creating this malware, that don't care about this one big score that will land 40% of all computers. We have guys who will, you have phishing scams that you get the exact same phishing email, to get an eBay password 4 times in your inbox, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
You know that they don't really care about, getting 20%, 40% of people. They care about one way that they can get at least 10 more IDs per hour. And I don't know. I if I were in this business, I would start thinking, let's invest a little bit of money in creating some Mac viruses and just see what happens. See if it gets us some dough.
So you think they're on their way?
And you think it's financial? You think this is primarily
it's always financial.
It used to be it was bragging rights or it was vandalism, but really in the last few years, it's been about money.
Not the last few years. I mean, you look at some of the identity theft systems out there, some of the eBay fraud systems, some of the PayPal fraud systems. This isn't even some guys in college trying to make some beer money or trying to do something illicit. You're talking about a company that's very, very well funded, that has a really admirably ambitious research and development wing. I mean, when you look at some of these devices that are being installed inside SpeedPass kiosks at gas stations, devices that certain waitresses and waiters in restaurants are having, you're talking about very sophisticated electronics that are designed to acquire credit card information. This isn't stuff that people are just homebrewing inside their garages.
But you make
this
a
stuff
good
that
point.
Developed if, like any other product.
If they're going to go after ATMs and gas stations, going after Mac, there's a lot more Macs out there. So you actually make a good point. There is certainly enough critical mass for them to see it as a valid target.
Right.
So we should expect these attacks soon.
I really do think it's going to happen at some point. I'm enough of a Macintosh egoist to think that there are technical reasons why they haven't really deployed something successful yet. But I'd be really surprised if in some whiteboard at some really, really skanky, you know, office retail complex.
Somebody isn't saying,
well, look, here's 10 grand. Here's 3 months. See what you can do to Macintoshes.
And just so you understand, on the Windows side, you know, Mark Rusinovich, who now works for Microsoft, is very, very well-respected security researcher, has said, speaking recently at a security conference, maybe even the same security conference, said, look, we're going to see attacks on Vista, too. Yeah, there's user access control. Yeah, we've done all these things. But that isn't going to stop people from figuring out other ways to get into Vista. It's just, you know, it's a seesaw battle. Maybe it'll happen. Interestingly, I just ran QuickTime and asked for updates on Windows, and there isn't an update yet, which may be the bolster the argument that it's easier to patch it on the Mac than it is to patch it on Windows. You got a lot more systems to test on Windows and a lot more heterogeneous environment.
What version? Can you tell what version of QuickTime you're running on Windows?
7. Yeah, well, I'll tell you in a second. It's 7.1, but I don't know if it's what 7.1
was. 7.16 is the one it wants to install right now on
right.
the Mac.
Let me just tell you real quick. Apple QuickTime Player. Hello, Apple QuickTime Player. Speak to me. It takes a little while to launch up here. But I did ask it to update, and it said your software is up to date. So.
Thank you for clicking QuickTime. Your computer is a zombie.
Working.
Your security is important to us.
Working.
Your computer is the 10,000th computer that will be updated to support the security patch.
Thank you for calling our customer service operator. All of our operators are busy, all two of them.
It's 715, so it hasn't been updated to 716. And it says there is no 716 yet.
I think Apple's official position is that the best security patch for Windows is macOS.
That's a t-shirt.
Your credit card will be charged $1,800 for the security patch. A large box will arrive shortly. Unplug all cables from your existing Windows machine.
Now, and interestingly enough, there also is a airport update and an update for an update. Version 1.1 of the 2007-004 update released earlier this month. So Apple is patching flaws in an update. I didn't get that patch, and I'm not sure if that's because I don't know why. I did get the airport patch and the patch for QuickTime.
That's what I got.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. This 1.1 patch. This is according to MacRumors.com.
Well, the good news is that, you know, all of us who have our airport addictions, this patch will just, you know, tail us off of this addiction little by little. We'll even notice we're missing it.
It's not working. Go get a life.
More of them.
Go outside and play. Let's see what else here. Steve Jobs says, never say never, but we're not planning on doing subscriptions in iTunes anytime soon. What's that? Are you talking to us?
Put the lightsaber down. Darth Sidious is not on his way.
So, now, you know, he's quick to say never say never. So does that, is this disinformation? What is he up to here?
I really bet that there's a contractual reason why he doesn't want to get into this. I don't understand. That's one of the areas of iTunes Store where I just don't understand why Apple doesn't get into subscriptions, because that is a real marketing. That is a real feature weakness that they have compared to Urge.
Well,
and,
you know how
just media based system.
Yeah, but you know how Steve is. He's very dogmatic, and it's the same reason there isn't. Of course, he said for a long time we won't put video on an iPod either, because nobody wants to watch video on a screen that small. But he says people want to own their music. And you know how Steve is when he believes something like that. That's all that matters. He says Apple is not planning on selling music via a subscription model. You think it's contractual and Steve's just putting a good spin on it?
I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out. I don't think there's a technical reason why they can't do it. I don't think that there's a user reason why they wouldn't want to do
it. He says it's failed so far, that the subscription
model. Yeah, but is there a reason he would want to seed that for business reasons? I mean, everybody always wants to. It's so typical of us to want to make this about what Steve wants in the world and what Steve thinks. But from a strictly business standpoint, that's a pretty big piece of the market to just seed as something you're not even going to try to touch. I mean, regardless of his own feelings about "quote unquote" whether people want it, well, I mean, as he's shown, if it's done correctly, people can want almost anything, you know.
Yeah, true.
Steve also said that we will offer the ability to do DRM-free music to any label that would wish to. I presume Network, the label in Canada that's offering DRM-free music on PureTracks, would be one of the first to step up. He says, anybody wants to do DRM-free music, you know, he says there are a lot of people, this is a quote, there are a lot of people in other music companies who are very intrigued by it. They're thinking very hard about it right now. He says, we have said by the end of this year, over half the songs we offer on iTunes, we believe will be in DRM-free versions. I think we're going to achieve that. Now, isn't this the month that that's supposed to happen for EMI?
It's only May 1st.
Well, okay.
Well, it's still May. David.
Yeah, the celebratory tanks are still rolling through Main Street. Let the parade go by first.
Are you going to start singing the Internationale?
Союз нерушимый республик свободных сплотила на веки великой Рус.
I know he knew it. Why do you know it is the question.
Well, it's like this. We at the Boston Peer Society Mac Group, we had a director who was a real... There's a word that, well, this is the dinner show, but I won't use the word anyway. I felt that he needed to be taught a lesson about being just a stuck-up dictator.
He was a dictator.
So I wrote a HyperCard stack that would teach the entire membership how to sing the Soviet national anthem in the original, you know. And fortunately, he flamed out and was fired before I could deploy this. But in the course of writing this HyperCard stack, of course, I learned how to sing the entire. I just wanted 300 people to just spontaneously start singing "Partia Lenina," and he would just have to sit there and stew for a good 4 minutes as we stood and.
Oh,
it would have been wonderful,
funny.
But no, the bastard had to like falsify. Oh, I shouldn't say that, but he got fired for
Andy,
cause.
Andy, how do you get as much free time as you have? That's
because
what I want to know.
My genius is so quick. See,
I see. Okay,
just like Edison, I sleep 2 hours a day. I have Pinkerton goons who do a lot of my work for me.
Everybody, now please rise as we sing the communist national anthem.
Soyuz.
That's the Internationale, actually.
Wasn't that the theme from Pippi Longstocking? I don't remember Soviet Navy singing in the Hunt for an October to a horn.
You want to hear it in Turkish? How about Chinese?
I don't think the Turks have ever won a gold medal in anything, so I'm not sure if I can identify the national anthem.
Is there a possible way that you can have a rat hole within a rat hole? Because I think we just got pretty close to that.
It's
a Klein bottle of rat holes. There's no inside or outside. Yes.
There you go. And I'll translate as they sing. Arise, ye starvelings, war workers, from your slumbers. Arise, ye criminals of want. For reasons in revolt now thunders. And at last ends the age of Kant.
Leo, I'm going to cry. Beautiful.
Excuse me, I got a phone call from some guy here from Homeland Security wants to talk to you guys.
I don't think
you want to join us. That's how inspirational it is.
The communists are the good guys now. It's the Arabs we got to worry about.
Oh man!
We're just gonna let you continue on that line.
That was said by Leo Laporte.
I'm sorry, we don't have the Turkish one. The Turkish one's set to a disco beat.
If you can be pretty fast with your editing bleeping finger, you could play Jonathan Colton's wonderful song, "The First of May."
Oh, where's that?
I just sent you the link in the side.
All right, that would be.
I highly recommend.
And this is also kind of a commie thing, or what?
It's not a common thing. It's a celebration of the first
it's
day.
Music. It's clear. It's cold enough.
It's the first day of May. It's celebrating what you can start doing after May 1st.
This is the lusty month of May.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Can I play it from this page? Or this is just the lyrics?
Only, you can hit the download the MP3.
Download the MP3. All right.
But you're going to want to come back later with your bleepy finger.
Oh, there's some bad words in it?
If there's one, there's fun. Yeah.
Here we go. JoCo, ladies and gentlemen. The 1st of May.
I woke up this morning. I had a scone and a large house blend. Then a little conversation with my squirrel and chipmunk friends. I said I'm sick and tired of winter, and I wish that it was spring. Then a little fella named Robin Redbreast began to sing. And he sang, ooh, child, what you think the cold winter's gonna last forever? Ooh, child, now's the time for all the people to get together.
It's not exactly a rise, ye starvelings of
well, you're just about to get to the good part. Anybody.
I am the good part? All right. Here's the good part, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the chorus.
This is the chorus? All right.
Bring your favorite lady, or at least your favorite thing. Water's not cold, baby, okay. Dip in your victim. Maybe I'll see you in flagrante delicto.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to start playing a Red Fox record soon, man. I got a couple here.
Do you have them? Because, you know, I'm open to that. I'm open to that.
I've never listened to one all the way through. I aborted about 3 minutes.
I've got that at 1 hour, 11 minutes.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay.
Outdoor
but
bleeping starts today.
Beautiful weather outside. And,
it is. I agree. Outdoor bleeping is, it's time.
Outdoor bleeping.
Outdoor bleeping starts today.
And you know, I said, ooh, child, I'll bring a blanket, and I promise I will brush the ants off. Oh, child, you're going to like it when we're taking each other's pants off.
That's just outside. That's poetry.
Isn't Captain Smooth, here on 102.1 FM.
Captain Smooth.
Giving away t-shirts.
Next 3 minutes.
Rise, ye starvelings, from your slumbers. Yeah, see, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
Unbreakable union of freeborn republics. United we stand. Our might was created by will of the people, and now let us rejoice, sweet Soviet land. Party of Lenin. Yes,
they would still be around if they said outdoor f***ing starts today.
Well, they didn't see. They didn't have to because they had those huge, like missiles on parade.
Okay, marshaling in front of Brezhnev. This family walks into the talent agent's office.
Stop. Okay.
Walks into the KGB office and says, "Chairman, I've got this new interrogation technique. You got to audition me."
Hell of an act you got there. What do you call it?
We call it the rat hole.
Okay, you guys.
You can cut out a full 20 minutes.
We call it the New Eastern Europe.
20 minutes. Cut out 20 minutes of that, and no one will ever miss it.
I don't know. I think it's kind of fun. We'll have to ask the live audience who's heard everything we've said at this point.
And they're probably recording it for their own rogue broadcast.
Oh, actually, we're recording. You know, the unedited version will appear on TalkShoe.
Oh, boy.
So basically, they'll be playing this audio on MSNBC with pictures of us.
Yeah.
And a little animated reel-to-reel deck.
What are they going to do? They can't do anything.
We're going to have to talk about this, Leo, before we open up the Pedango Productions live feed.
Okay, all right. Speaking of Steve Jobs, he's giving the keynote at WWDC, but he always does, so there's no news there.
We thought the guy from Singular was going to do it.
Yeah, with his Singular note cards. There's a guy who's still using the hipster PDA.
The hipster PDA guy. This is one of Merlin's buds.
That poor guy. You are so mean to him, Scott. He's one guy who got up on stage with like the best presenter ever, and he had cards.
Yeah.
Which
kind of proves that he's just a guy worthy of scorn.
Hey, I've been reading Steven.
I see you up there with Steve.
Nieces or nephews like Christmas specials, Christmas pageants. Oh God, another recorder solo. You suck.
Hey, she's playing it with her nose.
Awesome. And bubbles are coming out the end.
Ooh.
So what does that mean? What does that mean that he's going to be?
I think he always does. I mean, I don't think that's really. Yeah.
And they thought it was going to be 3 hours, but now it's not really going to be 3 hours. Is that what I read?
It's not going to be the iPhone because it's not ready. Right? It won't be June 11th.
It's just going to be a repeat of last year's WWDC. Hey, we got this new thing coming out called Leopard, and it'll be ready pretty soon. Here's your beta.
In October.
Did you hear about an iPhone delay? I haven't heard about an iPhone
delay. End of the month.
Really? Okay.
It'll be June 30th, not June 11th? Didn't they say that?
Okay. Yeah, well, Apple, I don't think the June 11th date was ever that real, but they're saying in June.
Okay.
June. I hope they're writing you checks, Scott. I really do.
I'm just telling you the truth. Show me where Apple said.
You're like, I don't know, you're like Apple's karma lawyer. Like, you're always rising to object.
I'm asking a simple, I'm just asking a simple question. Point to me where Apple Computer or Apple Incorporated said, we will have it shipping June 11th.
I'm not going to follow you down that path, counselor. It's not going
to
happen.
Do you want me to try to get
follow the money?
Should we try to get Scott's blood pressure a little higher? I could do it. Mike Elgin in Computer World. Actually, it's an old story, but Macworld just mentioned it. Says Jobs keynote introducing the iPhone blew it. Here are the six reasons why Jobs blew it. He raised expectations too high. He raised Wall Street expectations too high. It's true. The stock is it still over 100 or it's hovering at 100?
It's over 100.
Gave competitors,
at least last time I checked.
Gave competitors a head start. We have seen a lot of people trying to do something similar. There's even now that OpenMoku project, the open source iPhone project.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. OpenMoku.
Talk about Soviet engineering.
Well, there's no phone, but you've got the software. It's beautiful.
But you got a community, man. As long as you've got the community, well, you need the phone.
Oh, they got a big community.
Soviet Russia phone calls you.
I waited like 14 months for these tickets. It was worth 12 months.
What a country. Once a quarter, I'm allowed to do the Yakov.
Open what?
When in Branson?
I think it's Open Moku. Open M-O-K-U. Okay. Is that my phone?
Jeez.
No, your battery is flat, dude.
At what point in time did we lose complete control of this show? I'm just curious.
My phone's talking to me. It's saying Leo
it's time
Lappert.
For another MacBook quickly.
Leo Lappert's calling you.
Can I set up just an Apple script that says the word Mac every 3 minutes just to keep this tax deductible?
Yeah,
thank
there you.
You.
Go. There you go.
Mac.
Number four.
There you go.
Mac.
Number four. Jobs undermined Apple TV.
Oh, Lord.
He's the underminer. Well, he's a Pixar character
number
now.
Number six, Jobs wrecked Cisco talks. Well, there you go. And I rest my case.
He has a plan to steal Christmas as well, I wager.
All right.
He stole the last light off of Cindy Lou's Christmas tree.
We have concluded the news portion of the show. I can't find the rat hole music anywhere.
Oh. Well, you know, you didn't mention the most important iPhone-related news, which is this is the thing that's going to have the big impact. Steve Ballmer says it's not going anywhere. So last I heard, they're just shipping everything out from Cupertino and giving up on account of Steve says it ain't going to work.
Well, Steve's pretty sharp.
They're buying a coffee franchise now.
He went to Harvard.
Yeah. And isn't he the guy behind the Zune?
Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't know if he's behind the Zune.
The Zune is pretty much behind, you mean?
Yeah.
The iPhone... It's like everybody loves to attack whatever Apple's doing because, you know, for every Apple fanboy, there's an Apple hater. It's got to balance out, Merlin. It's got to balance out.
I'm waiting. I'm not convinced on the iPhone. I really am. I'm not.
There's still people saying that about the iPod, too, Leo.
Well, they're wrong, obviously. There's no question.
Yeah, but I mean, I think about some of the really cool things that I do on my Windows Mobile smartphone right now. And at least 70% of the stuff that I do that I enjoy is based on the fact that I can put any file I want on it and download any software I want on it. So when I finally do get my iPhone, that's one thing I'm really going to be looking at. Because if it turns out to be a huge, hellaciously library-managed device where I can't put anything on it that iTunes doesn't want to put on it, that would be a big strike against.
That would be bad, yeah. And, I'm having a little email back and forth with a fellow who says, oh, it's OS X. And I'm saying, well, it doesn't necessarily, you know, they're calling it OS X. I guess really what makes it OS X? The ability to run OS X applications. And if it can't run, you know, third-party applications, well, that's what makes any operating system an operating system. The ability to run the applications designed
That's not
it.
True. I mean, if it's a kiosk, it still has an operating system.
Right. I mean, that confuses people into thinking that when we're talking about OS X applications, we're talking about Macintosh applications. iPhone will run run OS X, but it'll run iPhone apps. Although there is going to be a lot of commonality in the code. I keep trying to play do my Jedi mind tricks to try to get developers to tell me exactly people inside Apple to tell me exactly how closely this code will be compatible.
What makes it OS X?
The fact that there's shared code libraries, the fact that there's shared development systems, the fact that Core Animation, the exact same system that's using to do all these cool animations in the Leopard is the same stuff that's being used to do the drive the exact same displays, the exact same animations on the iPhone. It's not a case of, well, we're using a consistent level of hooks, and if you learn about how to use core animation on the desktop, you will have some consistent information that you can use to learn how to use it on the iPhone. It is, as far as I can tell, exactly the same thing.
Well, but that's core animation. There's a lot of other facilities of OS X that may or may not be present, right?
Right, exactly. And the key phrase is just that, once again, this isn't a Macintosh, this is an iPhone. But they are all running the same core operating system. The fact that it doesn't need to, you know how to use a mouse doesn't make it not OS X.
But when you look at the run-up to this and you look at all the people who are, you know, trying to attack it, it strikes me that it does sound, taste, smell, and look a lot like everything I heard about the iPod when it launched. So that's where I'm kind of basing my position.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm reading right now Stephen Levy's book, The Perfect Thing, about the iPod, which is actually a great book.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to go back 5 years. You know, I didn't realize this, but Windows XP and the iPod were announced within a week of each other.
Yeah. He does a really great job of tying it all into other events of the industry and other events in the world. There are so many things I just forgot were going on.
Yeah, putting it into context is great because you really see where we were at the time. And at the time, Jobs said, this is going to be a category breaker. This is going to change everything. And I don't think even he knew how much it would change the music industry.
Yeah. But it's sort of a different thing with the iPhone because phones are such a subjective experience for every single user. I keep saying that. For me, the what makes the iPhone so compelling was that it has a really good keyboard. It's a virtual keyboard, but for me, it's a usable keyboard. And yet for so many people, that's going to be the deal breaker. They're not going to care how good the media features are. They're not going to care how great the browser and the email are. The fact that they don't have a tactile keyboard attached to it, or the fact that it's not the size of a candy bar, or the fact that it's not a folding phone is going to be a deal breaker for so many people. You can't really own the phone market the way that Apple was able to take over the portable media market because so many people have so many different ideas of what a phone means to them. It's like buying a car. You can't sell one car to everybody. You have to go into categories. There are people who are never going to buy a pickup, you know.
Well, I think the argument is they don't have to do as well with the iPhone as they did with the iPod, relatively speaking. I just mentioned the iPod in terms of the naysayers said nobody would ever spend that kind of money for a device that plays MP3 files that are locked into this system on such a small capacity.
I don't know if it's analogous though, Scott. I mean, this is a pretty different. I mean, for one thing, he was going into a market that was not nearly as kind of commodified as the phone market is.
And it was a brand new market, really.
It was an up and coming market, and although it was somewhat mature, I mean, there were people who were, but it had matured. And here's the interesting part:
it matured. It wasn't mass market.
In a way, the people who wanted MP3 players knew where to get them for cheap. Let's put it that way. Or if you were a power user, you were prepared to pay a lot. Maybe that's similar to what's happening with phones right now, but I don't think it's completely analogous. And I think, you know, and just to like say this once and get it out of the way, I think when people like me or Andy, whoever, say, well, let's wait till we actually see what it does, that doesn't mean we're hating on the iPhone. It's not digital.
I wasn't speaking about you.
Right. No, but I mean, to just say that anybody who doesn't accept this, you know, as the all-time greatest device they've ever used before they've ever used it, doesn't mean
I don't think anybody should do that. In fact, I'm just kind of trying to counter the flow from the John Dvoraks of the world
but they have a stronger case to make because, I mean, it's vapor, you know, until it's on the market and in somebody's hand. I think the naysayers actually have a lot more legitimate right to say stuff.
Hey, it's all traffic from my blog. Let them go. That's fine with me.
That ability to run apps. And I mean, I'm not nearly as kind of on the ledge as I was in January, but I still really think to myself that even stuff like dashboard widget type functionality that can hook up and sync with the apps that I use, that for me, I really think, unless this is that much better than what I already just paid a few $100 for last year, I got to say, if I can't run apps, it's so much less attractive to me.
I'm already really, really decided that I'm going to be buying myself an iPhone, chiefly because it's the first phone that I've used that has a browser and an email client, and even a phone features that seem to work the way that I want these things to work. But if Apple has to do to create a brand new transforming product is to create a phone that just plain works, damn it. I love my Windows Mobile smartphone, but you know, at least twice or three times a week, I have to go and do some farming inside the foul structure because I'm trying to answer the phone, but it'll tell me, you're starting to run low on space. Please delete unneeded files. I say, yeah, but can I please answer this phone for my mom who might be sick and dying right now? Thank you very much.
I've had my Windows mobile phone freeze in the middle of calls. I mean, it's awful.
And unfortunately, it's not just Windows Mobile. It's just about every phone I've used has some really just idiotic thing that any engineer who stepped back for one day and thought about how a phone ought to work would have solved really, really quickly. If Apple sells me the first trouble-free phone I've had since, you know, since like, you know, 1998 when I had my first, you know, my first huge, like, shoe-sized phone that just doesn't do anything but place and take calls, they'll have achieved something really, really important.
Feature that the high-end users like you, Andy, don't have, there'll be people who go, wow, I can actually surf the web and see a real web page, or you know, I can look at this voicemail thing and see who's calling me. All it's going to take, like you said, it is subjective, but they need a couple of million people that think those things are cool, and then, you know, the high-tech geeks can go ahead and buy the Nokia phone, but... they'll just have to have their battery charger with them at all times.
But I see exactly what you're talking about. Realize we skipped over something earlier when we were talking about Apple just giving no DRM and counter DRM opportunities to independent labels. Remember, rewind a few months ago when Steve Jobs first published that letter, and everyone was saying, "Oh, this is just like a marketing ploy. You know, if they could do this, how come they're not allowing independent labels to release stuff without DRM right now?" Then 2 months later, well, actually, guys, that's exactly what Apple's doing right now. Where's your blog post saying that you were wrong? Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, look, a kitten who's been trained to eat limes on YouTube. I'm going to link to that instead. Okay, well, that's entertaining, I suppose.
Oh, but they're so sour, and it's so cute when the kitten...
Lime
just...
kittens.
Oh, I love that.
Don't worry about the war. Here's a kitty with a hat on. Citizen journalism, ladies and gentlemen. Citizen journalism.
Let's... Andy proposed, and I think it's a good idea, a new feature. We're going to do... old but still good products that you're using. And I guess this all started with your visit to a flea market.
Not just any flea market, Leo, the MIT flea market.
Ooh.
Every single month, Massachusetts Institute of Technology campus, there is a flea market where every geek, nerd, Dobbin, whatever word you want to use.
Dobbin.
We didn't play sports in high school. Emptying out our closets. Exactly. It really is quite wonderful. There was a guy who had just a huge box full of 2001 era NEC Mobile Pro 790 handheld PCs. This was a Windows mobile device where the step one of this design was let's have a PDA with a full size keyboard built in. Okay, we got it. So what does that imply? Well, if it's going to be that big, let's put in a big screen, like half the size of a VGA screen. It'll just be narrower. It just looks like a really big checkbook. But it has Microsoft Word built in. It has Excel built in. It has Explorer built in with secure connections. It has a compact flash slot. It has a PC card slot, which means that for this $10 purchase, I have a mobile word processor. I can put in it doesn't have Wi-Fi built in, but hey, look, it's got a PC card slot. I went into my closet, got my old Orinoco gold, you know, PC card, slide it in there, download the drivers. It works just fine. It gets 10 hours off of a charge. I can simply copy. I don't need to use ActiveSync or buy any cables for it. I can simply, when I'm done with my word processing, I just save it as a rich text file onto the card.
I'll tell you, they knew how to make computers in those days.
You know, they ran on two onions, but still.
Hmm? Weren't you calling Leo a geek a few minutes ago?
How much?
Let's just set this up.
How much RAM does your mobile pro have?
It has 64 megabytes that's shared between internal storage and memory. But it's big enough that I can do an entire chapter off one of my books. It's also narrow enough that because I am not a member of the 1984 USA Women's Olympic team, you know, I can't use like a 15-inch laptop in a coach class seat. But I can actually do word processing on this.
You could actually.
It is nearly a full size keyboard. And now I got a great deal because I go to the MIT flea market, but I went to eBay because I needed to buy a replacement battery for it. And you can buy these easily for anywhere from $40 to $100. And for a lot of people, and also, you know,
Is it a color screen or is it a black and white?
I was color screen, all of 64,000 colors. Yeah. It's also very, very nostalgic because it has that old, like, non-Super Twist LCD.
Yeah.
So it has Windows Media Player built in, but if you were to try to play video on this, again, it's sort of like when you try to Skype in from your phone there. It's like there's an 8-second delay in what it wants to draw and what it draws. But I just want something that I can word process on, something that I can just surf the web on, more importantly something so that if I get caught outside in the rain, or if I leave it behind in a taxi cab, or if I'm covering a space launch in the desert where all the dust is blowing around, it's not going to be a big deal if I cheese this $80 computer as opposed to cheesing a $1,500 MacBook. That would be a bad thing.
I think if I still had my Model 100, I'd probably still use it.
Yeah, it's very much in the
similar
same vein as the Model 100.
Yeah.
Reporters love the Model 100 because it was absolutely indestructible and
right.
It ran forever on a single.
And it had a real keyboard. This has kind of a real keyboard, right?
Yeah, it's if you laid it in front of like your existing MacBook, you'd find that the alphanumerics are nearly the same width as the alphanumerics on your full size notebook
That's
keyboard.
Pretty good.
I can touch type on it very, very easily.
Anybody else have old crap they're still using?
Are you talking about the Radio Shack WP100?
The Model 100, yeah.
That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah, that's you still have one?
I have an operating Radio Shack WP100.
Oh, what a great Oh, my God, was that a classic?
And I can tell you something that's quite similar, this thing called the Dana.
I don't know the Dana.
Just Google Dana Portable, and it's very, very similar. And I have one of those. Which
is it more modern, or is it the same era?
It's got Wi-Fi. It's got,
you know, it's the Neo. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very good. It weighs like a pound. You just plug it in via USB to something. It goes. But I still have a working WP100, and every journalist I know, that's what they carried around forever.
Oh, yeah. You bet.
And so that was actually going to be the thing I suggest. I have one that works.
Wow.
Leo, if you got the right price.
No. It's just fun to look at it, because I do remember how great those were. I mean, they really were fantastic. Merlin, do you have any old technology you still are enamored
of? I'm trying to think of old devices now. If we're going to do devices,
it could be software.
Well, when you mentioned this, like, I like this idea. I didn't have a lot of time to think about it, but the first thing I did was went to my applications directory and sorted by date modified, and the oldest app I've got in here I haven't used in a long time, Perfect Guitar, which I think is a guitar tuning app. The second app, second oldest app, modified on 3.26.02, and I did just go check on Mac Updated. It has not been updated since
2002.
Yeah, and I think I might have talked about it on here before. It's a little application called Noise, and all Noise does is generate pink noise and white noise. And I have a very friendly family of Wookiees who live upstairs. They're very nice people. Very nice people. But sometimes you just need to concentrate. And
I thought you called them Bigfoot, Merlin.
I did not say that. They're very nice people. So
what you're saying is that they've discovered the podcast.
We're going to fix this in post. So Noise has not been updated in years, and all you do, you open it up.
But it doesn't need to, because Noise never changes.
It's got a button and a volume
button.
A slider. And the button is Noise. And when you hit it,
there's Noise. Now, are you able to combine this with Pizzizz?
And when you turn it off, it gets turned off. And then there's a
coupon
noise
code slider. Twit.
That's it. I'm having trouble hearing. There's some kind of a staticky noise coming through my cans. Kind of noise.
Is it pink noise, white noise, purple noise?
You have your choice of pink noise or white noise. The pink noise, if memory serves, is what I have it set on. Let me look.
And what if the guys at Pizzizz were able to put this in as a feature as part of Pizzizz? Then you don't need one app.
I'm going to buy you 5 new bits for Christmas. And so the pink noise covers white noise is more of kind of just the hissy noise, but the pink noise covers some of that low end as well. It's free, as in free.
I think it should be.
But it's such a great little like old school app, but it's a nice way to cover it up. But you know, you got me thinking though about the whole idea though of these old devices. And you know, it's funny. I look at my Trio. I believe totally up to date Trio, and I gotta say, there's not that much stuff. I do check my email on here, and I like the keyboard, but there's not that much stuff that I'm doing on here that I could not have done with my Palm 5.
That's probably true.
To be honest, I'm trying to think right now. I mean, I'm probably being a little bit. I mean, I like obviously the connectivity stuff is really great, but in terms of just having data stuff to lug around with me, It's really fascinating, and I don't know. I think it's a very interesting topic, though. It'd be fun to do a show just on kind of these old devices that still have terrific uses.
I got one right here. Here, listen to this here.
You in the bathroom?
Oh, wow.
Is that a zipper?
Yeah. No, it's just the leather case holding my beautiful Message Pad 2000.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yes.
Is that
yes.
a Newton?
It's a Newton.
Now, I do want to buy that from you.
This is, and it's in pristine condition because I gave it to my mom.
Man.
It's got a 2 megabyte flash storage card and additional cards for some other games and so forth. Let's see, what else do I have here? It's got the keyboard.
I missed the Newton.
It's got a keyboard with a proprietary Newton connector, not USB. They didn't have USB in those days.
1996.
This thing had 2 PC card slots, so I also have a fax modem card with X jack. That was,
oh man,
yeah.
You got the whole thing.
Oh, this is a work of art. Let me tell you, runs on AA batteries.
That's so cool.
Here's the stylus. You see, a beautiful metal stylus. It's
honestly still the best PDA ever made. I cannot use another PDA the way I used to use the Newton 2000. As a matter of fact, I have, whenever I'm covering conferences or doing talks like that, I will have like a spiral bound notepad in my pocket, which I refer to lovingly as my Newton Message Pad 2007.
You have
it's the
to
only
wonder
thing that's as useful as the other thing.
That if Scully hadn't forced Jobs out just before this came out, if Jobs might not have made something out of this.
Yeah.
You know, this is a Scully era product.
About to turn the corner.
Yeah.
So you run this, you can run this in wide mode.
Yeah.
Oh, these photos. I just sent you guys.
It's got great handwriting recognition. It's, well, relatively great. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
It works perfectly.
It's as good as anything out now. It has
better.
Probably better. And it was smart, too. I mean, it's kind of Stick It reminds me a little bit of my Newton, because you would write a date or, you know, lunch with Merlin it would know who Merlin is and it would know what lunch is and it'd put it in the right spot.
It made one of the best first impressions on me ever, because I went to the launch event, and even then I was still using notepads and just writing notes to myself whenever I had to take conference things. So handwriting computer, it looks like a little notepad of paper. Without even thinking, I write a note, and then without even thinking, I do the same thing I would do like on a real notepad, which is just draw a line underneath it to note to myself, okay, that's the end of the note. And then it just percolated for 3/4 of a second and realized, oh, I guess that means that's the end of the note. I'll format a new one. And I'm like,
it's pretty. You know,
baby.
I have to say, when you look at tablet PC, Microsoft's tablet PC, there's a lot of Newton in it. Nice leather case.
Wish there were.
Yeah, maybe like, more. Maybe more.
Oh
needs
God,
more. This case is so old. It actually has my business card in it from ZD Television Productions. Leo Laporte, technical managing editor of the site MSNBC. So that means this is 10 years old.
See, that reminds me of something else that's so awesome about the Newton. I still have it like in my storage locker here, above the cabinet inside my office here. Whenever I put fresh double A's in it and turn it on, all the data, my entire life circa 2000
still in here.
Is restored immediately.
Still in here.
So this is like $100 on eBay.
I will, but you know, I will bring this the next
for
time
2000?
We do.
That's what I'm just checking.
And there's
real
still
quick.
People doing development for it. There are people who will.
You can run Linux on it. Apache on it.
Bring it down to the studio, Leo. I'll buy it from you.
Well, I'm not going to sell it, but I will bring it down, and you're welcome to play with it for a little bit, because it is a
if you decide you want to sell it, I want it.
Okay. You know, and this is an actual Newton leather case. It's got the little Newton light bulb on it.
Ooh, you're killing me here, Leo. You're
one.
Killing
no,
me.
No, here's one. Here's one. It's a Newton 2000 plus Message Pad 100 plus accessories. It includes a buttload of accessories. Oh, I want this.
Yeah, it's
this
pretty neat.
So nice.
I'll be honest,
Leo took care of his, probably.
Well, no, actually, what happened was I gave it to my mom. And she never figured out how to use it, so she put it in a closet somewhere. And I was there when I was there a few months ago. She said, "Do you want this?" And I said, "Mom, that's great! You saved it. I'm so pleased."
It's like she gave you back all the comic books you had as a kid.
It's like, yeah, I didn't throw them out.
These in the attic.
They were propping up the dining room table.
I was just joking. Here's that. Do you really want that Hannes Wagner baseball card? Because I still have it. It's here. I just I thought
that number one Superman comic.
Yeah.
I used
that
as a coaster.
I know I told you
last
about
week.
If you fail to mow the lawn, but I'm not that awful.
So anyway, it is fun to go back down memory lane a little bit. And some of these things, it's interesting, maybe not fully useful, But in many ways still as useful and certainly works. I mean, you look at the Newton, that was a work of art. It really was.
I admire people though, who are willing, unlike me, who are willing to put a lot of effort into keeping that stuff alive. I think that's kind of cool to go, you know what, this does what I need it to do.
Right.
And I'm just going to use it.
That way. I'm a fetishist. Yeah. To me, I want the shiny new thing.
Because a lot of these things are still perfectly useful. One of the things I've discovered that I really liked about this Mobile Pro was that it's a form factor that got completely abandoned.
Right.
I'm kind of sick and tired of how every single hardware manufacturer seems to think that's around 1989, maybe 1993, they perfected the art of computer design. Keyboard plus big screen folding, keyboard plus big screen on your desktop. That's it. We've reached the acme of hardware design. We don't need to keep trying out new things. So when you find something that's a little bit different and a little bit more useful for the way that you interact with your hardware, I mean, you like it even more than you should like it, just because, my God, here's something that's different.
I want to wrap this up because I know Merlin has to get out of here. Real quickly, do you still want to do some software picks, gentlemen?
Sure.
Why don't you start off, Merlin, in case you have to run?
Oh, yeah, that's okay. I'm fine. I forget where I learned about this. I want to maybe say Lifehacker, but somewhere along the way, I've used this before, but you have a situation where you've got more than one machine and you want to share a keyboard and a mouse. And the easiest way I found to do this is this program called Teleport. And it's a Teleport. And it's a free preference pane that you install on two machines. You identify the machine that acts as the server, and then you allow any other machine, you click on a little button to share this machine. Then you just drag, this is probably not new to a lot of people, but it's new to me. And so then on the host machine, the server machine, you then drag little versions of the screen, kind of like you would in displays. Mm-hmm. You drag the screens around, and it automatically detects the edge of the screen when you move across, and then pops right over to the other machine, which in my case is my MacBook Pro, sitting next to my screen. So it's completely natural, and you can sit there. It'll do things like if it's under a megabyte, it'll move the clipboard with it. So if you're watching YouTube in one screen and you want to drop it into TubeSock on the other, it'll carry it along with it in the clipboard. It took like a second to set up. It works great. It's got encryption. It can detect other machines through Bonjour. And it's a great little free app. And if if you're like me, you've just graduated from a laptop back to a desktop, it's a great way to keep that old one used through the day and to have a second monitor effectively.
Very cool. Teleport.
Teleport. And I'm looking at the Mac update site. I'm cheating, but it's at Abyss Soft, I guess. ABYSSOFT.com. And it's very cool.
Very cool. Andy, you got a software pick you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, a little bit off the wall. When I give presentations, I'm surprised at how often people like compliment me on my choice of fonts. I don't know whether that means I really wasn't very interesting in terms of my actual content.
But your typefaces are amazing.
Exactly. Well, if I'm talking to more than like 300 geeks, maybe one of them will say, "You're using Comic Sans, but somehow it doesn't suck. What did you do to it?"
That would be saying something.
Exactly. And I said, well, no, it's not Comic Sans. It's this really, there's this really great font library from comicbookfonts.com. It's a company called Comiccraft that they actually produce, in addition to fonts for geeks like us, they actually produce the digital fonts that DC and Marvel and all these other companies really, really use.
I want these. Real comic fonts, not Comic Sans. Oh, look at these.
Oh, these are cool.
They're absolutely gorgeous. I use a font called Hedge Backwards. That is just beautiful. It looks like it was hand-drawn, but it's so metric that it's really, really easy to read from any distance. I use it almost everywhere on my websites, on my letterhead, everywhere. I just love these fonts. Now, the great thing is a lot of these fonts are really dirt cheap. You can get them some packages for less than $40. Now, here's a reason for you to go into iCal and set yourself an appointment for New Year's Day. Every year on New Year's, every single font in their library is the number of pennies in this year. So next year, every font will be $20.08.
Wow.
Even the ones that are costing you $140, $150 bucks.
What's the URL?
Comicbookfonts.com. I'm looking at Hedge Backwards. It is that Marvel hand-lettered comic book.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I want this.
Yeah, I mean it makes you look a little bit rowdy and a little bit out there.
It looks like an old readable. like an adventure book for boys.
Yeah,
that kind of the hedge backwards look. That's so cool.
And there are like at least two dozen of these kind of different hand lettered fonts, so you can go for whatever sort of effect you're looking for. This is the Hedge Backwards is like I said, it's a little bit metric, meaning it's very, very precise. The other cool thing is that in the lowercase fonts, on some of the typefaces, it's uppercase only. Hedge backwards is upper and lowercase, but if you choose the uppercase only font, when you hit the shift key, the O will be a different O, the H will be a different, slightly different H, so it'll look hand lettered. Like you get some little variations in how it's being drawn. It's one of the it's the best $20 I ever spent, even for the, at the full price. It's probably the best money you'll ever spend.
Well,
spend on a font.
It's a neat site too because they have interesting articles like bouncy text and gradients in Illustrator and how to do rough balloons. So if you're doing comic books, I mean, obviously these guys do comic books.
Right, exactly. I mean, again, if you Marvel, DC letterers are using these exactly these fonts to letter all their stuff, you will see this stuff on the covers of just about every book you pick.
That's not the prices are not really too bad.
But I want to buy a CD with them all. I do they sell one with everything?
You can buy the whole schmagilla. It's going to cost you, but they do sell font packs that have collections by theme. Like if you want those really cool blam suddenly,
right?
Thor smites his mighty hammer upon the ground. Those big like display fonts. You can get collections of those for like $120, $130. Wow. You will use them if they're on your hard drive somewhere. There will be a point at which you know you're doing invitations to a cousin's funeral service. But yes, you will do the Thwagadoom Don Martin font because it's just too cool a font not to use.
Kerthwak.
Kerthwak, I love it.
Weedy deedy dap.
These are great. Hey, thank you for the tip. This is wonderful. Comicbookfonts.com. I want to mention something that, you know, I mentioned IGTD. And by the way, I've still been using it. And I found it to be a very useful to-do list getting things done. It's still free, IGTD. And I mentioned that on a few episodes back. And I got an and by the way, they update it very regularly. So there have been quite a few updates since I mentioned it. And I'm still using it. It syncs beautifully. It's really fantastic. But Frank Jonan, when I mentioned that, he's frank.tumblr.com, said, you know, thanks for the IGTD, but let me show you another one that is for students. It's called Schoolhouse. It's from loganscollins.com. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's totally cool. I think I might have had it as a pick once.
Oh, did you? Never mind then.
No, do it. Do it. It's for doing your schoolwork.
It's
right?
A homework manager.
Oh, it's totally cool. Yeah. You should do it.
The kid who wrote it's 19 years old. Maybe that's where Frank, he probably heard it on an earlier Mac Break Weekly and forgot and sent it along to us. But it keeps track of your grades. It keeps track of your assignments. It goes term by term. Due this week. Very important. It even has something it calls class casting, which allows you to use .Mac sync or FTP to put stuff out. So a teacher could add stuff, you know, to your system. I would think a school, this would be a great thing for a school to use. So you did this. I mustn't have been around when you did it because I
could be wrong. I know I mentioned it somewhere, but no, it's a great little, and it has a really, if memory serves, it has a really nice sense of finish to it.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. It's very nicely done.
19-year-old kid wrote this. There's an ask instructor button that automatically opens an email with a question about an assignment. Instructors can use it to push assignments as well. So if all your students had Schoolhouse, you could push the assignments to each of them. It is free, although they ask the developer, who's, again, 19 years old, asks for donations. Actually says donations are down, but you can send me an email instead. So it's a really good deal.
Buy me beer.
Yeah. Well, not beer, but near beer. LoganScollins.com. And well, I'm sorry to do a repeat, but I think for anybody who has a student, I told my daughter and son about it immediately. I think it's pretty impressive.
What'd they say?
They downloaded it, and I haven't yet used it. I think they're afraid of actually getting anything done. So that's, you know, they may not really want it.
That's not cool.
It's not cool to get anything done. No, my both kids are really working on organization. That's kind of one of the main things you learn in school.
I would just think, you know, I mean, I didn't care for computers at all when I was in school, but I think with my brain of today, I kind of wish I'd had a framework like that in like college. Even.
It could have saved my life.
I mean, that's the nice thing about getting things done, though, is that whole idea of thinking in two different ways, thinking about your projects for planning and thinking about context for doing. And that just that concept alone would have been so much better for me to know earlier rather than later.
Maybe I'll sit down with my kids and say, hey, let me just work this through because you may like this a lot. Actually, I should send it to the sysadmin at Abby's high school because they all use Macs.
Has Shuby seen it?
No, I don't know. Shuby, get this. You need it. Shuby's a straight A student. Shuby's one of those scary kids who does 8,000 things and is brilliant. We call him America's favorite sophomore. He's the the high school sophomore who helps us out at the TWIT facilities. And now, finally, last but not least, a pick from Mr. Scott Bourne.
I've been the victim of identity theft two times in my life.
Oh, dear.
And recently, all this talk of you know, vulnerabilities on the Mac has me scared. So I've started using a product called Netshade. And with Netshade, you can protect your identity because basically what you're doing is you're using a web proxy. And people don't have to know where you're from. It can make, you can make it look like you're logging on from Switzerland. And there's a free trial available from Rainier Software. I tried it out, and one of my big concerns about this was going to be that it was really going to slow things down. But generally, I don't see any performance degradation. And so when I'm doing my banking or different things like that, just in case, I don't know, maybe I'm not actually helping myself, but it makes me feel better. So I'm using Netshade.
Netshade.
Yeah. Now, does it ever worry you that you're running all of your most secure stuff through a company server that you don't know about?
Thank you for helping me ruin my day there.
Who watches the watch? Your submarine, Scott. Allow me to poke holes in your boat.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just now going to go kill myself.
Then my work is done. Another good podcast, guys.
You know, it's going through other people's sites anyway. It's just one more site, big deal. And I'm sure Rainer, whoever he or she might be, is perfectly trustworthy.
Okay, never mind. I'll pick something else next time.
No, we love you, Scott.
We're just trying to protect you.
Don't jump.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Since this is the world's longest podcast, and I've got some severe editing to do over in the beginning there, I think we're going to wrap this up and save our whines about iCal for another day, if you guys don't mind.
Well, there will always be plenty more where that came
where coming from. I want to thank Andy Iannacco from the Chicago Sun-Times for joining us. A colossal waste of bandwidth. His website, CWOB.com. And anything else you got coming up you'd like to let people know about, Andy?
Nope. I got me an iPhone book. I got me a Leopard book. Both these things got to be written, and both these things have just been delayed. Woohoo!
How can you write an iPhone book? Or can you reveal those details?
Again, it's one of those Thomas Edison things. My genius really cannot be constrained by limits of AC and DC current, which is why I must smash Nikola Tesla and his horrible, horrible beatnik ideas.
So for Nikola Tesla, you read David Pogue, and I don't know. Anyway,
David's a very nice person.
I love David.
You can, of course, catch Scott Bourne's Apple phone interesting stuff at Apple Phone.
Show.com.
I keep wanting to say tricks because the other ones are tricks.
And, yeah.
iLifeZone.com is his podcast, and Podango.com is his company. And someday soon we'll be at the Podango Studios and doing this show, and no profanity will be allowed in the Podango Studios.
Also, Leo, Alex wanted us to mention that Pixel Core has a coupon sale. PXC50 is the coupon if you want to go and get some cool software for $50 for something or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, no. The way it works, you can join Pixel Core for
$50
all summer for $150 fee, which is
Much cheaper than usual.
It's about one quarter of the usual amount. Yep. So
PXC50 is the coupon code you need. And since Alex is in Africa, I'm mentioning that for him.
I should have mentioned that's why Alex isn't on the podcast today. He's in Harare, Zimbabwe, and couldn't get access to bandwidth to do the show with us. But I'm hoping he's going to be going to South Africa at some point. And I'm hoping we can get him on the line via Skype from South Africa. Merlin Mann is working on the Merlin Show every day, constantly. How's it going?
Oh, swell. Getting ready to do some more tutorials, some more screencasts, going to do some stuff about smart playlists. And I really like the series that's running now, talking with John Roderick from the band The Long Winters. It's a lot of fun. Doing that, and spending way too much time playing with the Tumble Log. I need to get some kind of a proxy that won't let me play with Tumblr.
It's so much fun. We're gonna get. You should join us on Net at Night when next week David Karp's gonna be on from Davidville, the guy who designed Tumblr. Cool. It's getting better and better.
And they just
better.
Had a nice new release with more cool stuff in it.
Yeah, you can have friends.
Yeah, exactly. Followers,
which is so cool. And I really love Kung Fu Grip, which is your Tumble log. It's at kungfugrippe.com. And take the Young Ones University Challenge.
I've got college.
He's got really old, weird stuff on there. I love it.
Yeah,
it's really
A dog in a Darth Vader costume, powder for your scrot. I've got all kinds of stuff. Frito Bandito.
Yeah. This has become the new. This is your new thing. This is where your love is.
This is where I excel.
This is your love.
Everything's a rat hole.
And trivia. Hey, I found the rat hole music. I suppose we should probably
play it as a bed underneath this entire podcast.
Just play it over and over and over and over. This is the long version of the rat hole music that was provided to us by. I don't remember. Somebody good. Somebody.
One of our fans.
Yeah. Open. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on the fabulous Mac Break Weekly. Good night, everybody.
Das Vidanya,
the Aristocrats.
Sing.
CP1 is now terminating broadcast operations. Please turn off your radio and leave transmitter open, please. We like it when you say kinky things in your sleep about this state.